Good evening, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening again, everyone.
Hello, everybody there. Good to see you.
Hey, this is Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock, and this is the Joy of Sacrifice. So the last 20 weeks or so, Ivan, 25 weeks, I don't know what it is. Have you been counting?
Well, we're up to sacrifice 18.
Well, some 20 weeks we've been working on the book, The Joy of Sacrifice by E.J. Gold. And it's called The Joy of Sacrifice. It's fundamentally distinguished from the Catholic mode of sacrifice, which is just deprivation, so on and so forth. This is sacrifice to discover something fresh and new. And that's what has been before us for all these weeks, that opportunity. So we're now on the 18th sacrifice. That's the last one in the chain. It actually started with sacrifice zero, Ivan. That's why it's more than
19,
just.
Yeah.
And we had two or three classes at the very beginning.
The introductory.
And you should go to wingsofchaos.com, and you're going to see some of the postings that are on there. And I want to thank Ivan and Mark McGibbon for posting on the site this evening. Very interesting stuff. So the key is to, these are cumulative. It's cumulative, the work that we've been doing all these weeks, to get to where we are now. So we're at the very last sacrifice. And put yourself in the position right now, put yourself in the position of having a sense of what the author was trying to introduce to us as he walked us down this path. There's a lot of work put into this book to, in a certain way, get us to where we are now. And it's that effort that we're walking down that road to see what we discover. So I'm not going to read the post, Ivan, though yours was just really, really good. I think you were quite moved when you read it, when you wrote it. And let's get into the chapter just a little bit, and then we'll see where we head from there. So this one is called, this is the Sacrifice of Redemption, and the subtitle is Life of Stillness. So that's where we are right now. Sacrifice of Redemption, what could this mean? Where have we come to be at this point? And place yourself in that sense of wonder. Just pause for a moment from, oh yeah, I know this. Oh yeah, I know this. No, we don't. No, we don't. And that's the opportunity before us. So let's see where we head, okay? I'm just going to read a little bit, Ivan, and then we'll go from there. In this stage, one prepares the groundwork or foundation for the development of the conscience. This is at the end. At the end, we are at that point where during this stage, during this particular sacrifice, we are building the groundwork for conscience. I hope we remember last week's sacrifice. Well, it was actually 2 weeks ago, but the last one. It flows directly into this. It flows directly into this. So this thing is called, being in the space called developing the groundwork and foundation for the development of conscience. One gives up all powers of the sixth body, thus destroying all previous attainments. One relies upon nothing whatever to make things happen. What does that remind us of? Or to go right? one reaches a crossroads where the choice is given to graft oneself to the body of power or to gamble everything for the attainment of permanent consciousness. So there's two important things in that sentence. Okay, the first part is to put ourselves in a position upon where nothing whatever, one relies upon nothing whatever to make things happen. What is that, Ivan? So you're in a position where you're not, you don't rely on something called make things happen.
Yeah, well, it's coincidence. I mean, you're taking things as they manifest. Just take things as they happen.
So you,
without
precisely. So you put yourself in a position of being subject to coincidence. So think of that for a minute. You're walking down the road, and what are you? Where are you? What are you doing? You are in, as I call it, a moment of wonder. You're in a moment of wonder at that. Each step is like that. And it's important to, if you're in that place, it's important to not conclude, to not decide and to discern, oh, this is what's happening. Oh, this is what this means. Because as soon as that brain, that part of the brain kicks in, game over. So our opportunity here is to stay in that place called, what's it called? Relying upon nothing whatever to make things happen. That's the space. So start thinking in terms of that. And when we do Life in the Labyrinth in, at the latter part of January, this will become more important to you. But this space is called... One relies upon nothing whatever to make things happen. All right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Can you stay there for a moment? All right. Then the next sentence, one reaches a crossroads where the choice is given to graft oneself.
Could you repeat that, David? Could you repeat that, please?
Then the next sentence. But what would you like me to repeat? Simon, are you there?
The phrase that you did at the beginning. Yeah, the first phrase that you just said.
You mean like the space is called one relies upon nothing whatever to make things happen?
Yes.
Yeah. So think of things like that as a space, not as a linear delineation of a thought. So I am in the space called I rely on nothing whatever to make things happen. Carry that around with you, like in a pocket. In your pocket as you walk down the road and pull it out, your little shirt pocket or your purse or something, and you look at it and you go, oh, I'm in this space called I rely on nothing whatever to make things happen. To make things happen. All right? All that really means is that I'm not going to rely on the dead machine. The machine doesn't, I mean, this machine has done its job to get us here. It's done a wonderful job to get us to the place where we can work a little bit, right? Did its job, but its time is over. Its time is now past. We're on to the big kids game, all right? As we were as children, remember that? We talked about that, Corinthians 2:13, I think it was. Okay. Now, the next sentence, one reaches a crossroads. This is a very important distinction I'm going to make here, and something that Silverdale and I have talked about. One reaches a crossroads where the choice is given to graft oneself to a body of power or to gamble everything for the attainment of permanent conscious life. Now, we understand that these levels of attainment that are on this sacrifice and some of these latter ones are beyond where most of us are. They're beyond, we're not at that level of attainment of the sixth body or so on, but we can sense it, right? We can, like, reach out and sense it a little bit. We can sense what it's like to be there. We're not there. We're not crystallized in the sixth body or man number five or six or whatever the heck it is. We're just where we're at. But we can see that that's a choice point before us. And all that means is that as we're heading down the road of our path in the work, we know that we're going to have choice points. We know that there are going to be choice points. And guess what? We can practice now for those choice points. And Simon, I think that that's the whole point. It's, do you live your life in a world set by the machine, or are you willing to gamble everything? Are you willing to gamble everything? It's in, I don't know if you've ever gambled, but it's an interesting thing to walk into to a casino. To walk into a casino and you go to the craps table and you put like $20 down on midnight. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I have. It's bizarre because midnight is double sixes, and it's pays 30-1, but it's almost an impossible shot. But just before the dice rolls, everybody's kind of like their breath is caught, and that moment is an interesting moment. You see between the raindrops there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the external, but creating that moment is something that will stay with people. Okay? I better continue on here, huh?
Thank
during
you.
The, go ahead.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Okay. Molly, is there anything that needs
comment?
To be read? You want to read some stuff, Simon?
Okay. Piangio says, to not make things happen is to have no desire or repulsion, embracing the moment as it is.
Yeah.
If they relying upon nothing whatever to make things happen. So that's the phrase that I ask.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That it? Okay.
Yeah, it's accepting. The other thing, actually, I could comment that this idea of the body of power, it seems to me there's a suggestion here that even though it may be the sixth body, but the suggestion that to identify with any body at all, that it's subject to destruction, to decay and destruction, even though it may be over a whole different temporal scale or something like that. But this is this is a choice, like to be the ultimate power over your environment and over people and be the king of kings and all that, but you know, nevertheless, that's all destined for the dust. To end up as dust anyway, whatever that program would be.
That is before us. We understand that. But we're, in a sense, practicing for those moments that are before us in the bardos. We're practicing not just for ourselves, but we're practicing also for those around us to allow them to know there is an eternality about it. And we can provide, if nothing else, the space to allow that possibility, okay? Just the space for that so it's possible. And as someone approaches transit, they stop having to hang on to the material brain matter of what I call the linear brain. And if you can stop that for a moment, then the world, what I call the world of wonder, begins to open up. And the ghost says, this was on the one where we talked about super efforts about 3 weeks ago, or three or four sacrifices ago. They asked the question, well, I know how to put on a super effort with regards to a concert, but what about other times? And those other times, I call that, you know, in the Bible they say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Watch. Be watchful. And the whole idea there, of course, is to be in the space that's being talked about now in this sacrifice, to be in that place where I have no reliance on making things happen. Okay? And if you're not in, you don't have to be in that space, then this other thing can come through, and you can be ready to do your work at that moment. You won't know what it is. Not yours to know what it is, or to predict it, or to plan it out. But if you wait in that way, when it's in that method, it's called wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, of course, refers to Tipperith, and you know God, the Christ consciousness. You wait on that, and if you're there, maybe you'll be able to do what's needed to be done at that moment. We don't, like I said, we don't quite know what it is. Okay? Let's see. Okay. During the stage, one must remain in this helpless condition. Helpless, of course, referring there to the machine, in which one is played upon by nature and by accidental circumstances, and now comes forth the laws of coincidence. One must not even for a moment use one's former powers, because you must have developed those former powers to get to this level of surrender and acquiescence, very high place, even though they are still available. Should one do so, one must begin all over again. And I think Lost Horizon or somebody said they don't want to begin over again.
That does sound a lot like a game simulation.
Yeah.
To go back to the beginning again.
Go back to the beginning. This is a book written in the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. If one should succeed in attaining the seventh body, one has reached the limit of attainment possible in this cycle for human beings, in this universe. Beyond this, one must be in a new form. And EJ here is just pointing out to the infinity of universes and that exist. And I may point out that this is also what Spinoza says, that he concludes there's an infinite number. This happens to be the one that we're in. Okay, that's all. After one has passed this stage, one may again choose to apply the powers for the good of others. For one who is in the midst of the development of the seventh body, called the harmonious human being, everything must be done in an ordinary way. What does that mean, Ivan? What does that mean? M.A.?
I think for chapter one has passed the stage, one may again choose to apply the powers to the good of others. And everything must be done in an ordinary way.
Yeah, and I want to share an example. The first time I ever, when I first met EJ was at a conference or a convention that they had at the Institute, and I was invited to come to the craft fairs. And the first one was in, I believe it was January, down in L.A., and I remember going to the fair, and I've actually expressed some of the events that occurred. But I remember being at the booth. There was this whole event that occurred, and then I saw EJ walking away with two other students back to wherever the heck he was going. I don't know. And I remember thinking, he looks so normal. It was like incredibly normal. So he was consciously acting normal. Because we're in a planet here and we're working with other individuals, and these other individuals, this is their life. This is who they are. They're not asking us to change them, right? They're not asking us for help. They're not saying, gosh, help me develop my spiritual side. They're not knocking. So we don't impose that on anybody, but we're there to provide that hospitality at the moment that it's possible. And even the individual won't know when it's possible. So I just thought that was a really interesting phrase. Everything must be done in an ordinary way.
Well, this is, don't forget the middle part of this paragraph, the during this period of testing. So
yeah.
That's the one that made me think of Macario.
Yeah.
That scene where it's like you have been, you've achieved a power at this point, at a certain point, but the to advance from that point, you have to sacrifice the power. And then it doesn't matter if, whether it's somebody you love or whatever it is, you can't use the power while you're just in that stage.
And you can't use it for personal gain.
Yeah.
If you use it for personal gain, it is tainted. It becomes tainted. And there has to be a choice point, a temptation, certainly beyond anything that I have had to face. And so we can't quite envision it, but sometimes we can see the results of it. So we are being tested and tested and tested. And one of the things that, and I'll digress a little bit, Ivan. Just Macario, by the way, is a movie.
Yes.
It's a movie, I think in the 60s, Mexican movie. Actually, it was, I think, the first Mexican movie that was got an Academy Award nomination for Best Foreign Film.
Black and white. But it's based on a folk tale. It's basically an old story.
And we won't go into it at the moment, but it's fascinating. You should, if you can get a chance to see it, it's well worth it. I don't know if it's even available. But I wanted to comment a little bit on Dante and Dante's Inferno. I placed a quote on the site, wingsofchaos.com, about that is the very beginning of Paradiso.
Mm.
All right. Most people don't read Paradiso, as Ivan pointed out in his book. And the reason is because there's no blood and guts there as such. And so the Divine Comedy is written, and I believe this is correct, that there's something like exactly 1,000 stanzas, cantos. And so it starts with the Inferno, hell, and the levels, the 9 levels of hell. And Dante wakes up in some sort of weird dream, or he doesn't even know where he's at, and he's in this forest, and he doesn't know, and he's lost. And his guide winds up being Virgil. Virgil comes and guides him through this whole, abandon all hope, all ye who enter here.
Yes.
That's the heading when they enter into the hell world. And they go down, and in that there's a description of the various types of sin that these people have held on to, including at the very end there's Satan, the devil, at the in the 9th level of hell, and so on and so forth. And then they emerge, and he's now in purgatory. What's the difference? The difference is the willingness to change, the willingness to be redeemed, to the redemption of your sins. And there's the seven levels of purgatory. Then an interesting thing happens. When Dante is ready to ascend to the next level called Paradiso, to paradise, Virgil leaves and Beatrice comes. Virgil cannot enter the highest realm. Not important why at the moment. But Beatrice comes and she guides him into that realm. And the first things that he is approached with is the angels say, well, you know what? You have no idea what we're talking about. You can't know what we're talking about. We're so far above you in consciousness. But we'll come down to the human form so that you can experience what we're talking about. We'll try our hardest. And he goes through all these incredible events. At the end, then, he's ready to meet the Godhead, right? How could he possibly even see that? How could a human even see such a thing? The answer is he can't. But it's presented as
what, the rose,
the white rose.
Yeah, I don't remember the details. Just that it's, since it's the work of a poet, it's a metaphor.
Because how could you? How could a being on the human level see that? You can't. It's not possible. But you can resonate with it. And that's what we're talking about here, is that we have the ability to resonate with that higher. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
That's why we're here.
Probably.
Simon, are you there?
Somebody must be there.
Yes, I am here, David.
And then, can you read some of the comments?
Well, yeah, there's different things. I'm going to go back to to Piff, in which he says, yes, please do say more about this grafting process.
What?
This grafting process.
Grafting?
Grafting. G-R-A. Grafting. I think it's grafted.
Who said that?
This is Peef. Something, there's a word that appears in the book.
Yes, that's the one we just talked about, the grafting on the previous paragraph. The previous page.
And he continues, and is the body of power any one of the lower incarnations that one might take in a spontaneous rebirth?
Okay.
That's Piff. Pianjo says, I agree with Ivan, this sacrifice is about our readiness to be eaten by lions in the arena and still smile.
Right. Good luck.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lost Horizon.
The thing about with Dante and the Beatrice and all that, it's like by the time in this, what would you call it, in this model, in this paradigm, you know, where the observer, you know, who would you say, the voyager, actually, Dante, the voyager, you know, gets to the very ethereal higher realms, but there he can only be guided by the beloved, and it's basically
that's
like
right.
The beloved from his other life, from his ordinary life, and so on, and this is like the dream life, and so she appears as the risen, you know, as the divine beloved, and so on, and it's very, you know, he presents it in color, like it's trying to represent divine realms as, you know, less material. It becomes very much more metaphorical, and it's all about impressions of beauty and crystal colors and, you know, beautiful light,
what
radiance, and so on.
Right.
we're looking for a comment over there. But it, what strikes me about this, you know, this EJ is talking about something here. He's talking about an approach to, what you call it, approach to this divine stage, you know, to this very advanced stage that looks quite different from that, I think, because it's sort of like, what is this period? This is the last temptation. You want to go on? Do we read that part yet? Did we read the part about the last? That's a paragraph or two down. It's like, it seems to me what EJ's describing, it's sort of like the route to that, you know, that ultimate consciousness and so on, is, it goes down again. It's down through a subjecting yourself to not just ordinary life, but subjecting yourself to, he uses the word, violence. Anyway, maybe we should go on. In other words, it looks like it's like you may be buffeted. He's suggesting that you've got to go through another suffering, another temptation, and another suffering, and another, I don't think it's like the inferno, but it's another trial. What would you call it?
Cleansing.
Well, it's a corridor, like it's like something like the corridor.
It is the corridor, and that is
yeah.
At the end here, we come to that.
Well, this is here. Let me just go ahead and read this. Yeah.
Please.
Did we get to this part? It is during this stage.
No, read that.
This we did. It is during this stage that everything will seem to go wrong. So here's what I'm saying. This is quite in contrast to the Paradiso. That the universe will conspire against one's work. One's very vulnerability will attract the victimizers and the violent. So this sounds a little scary to me.
When you are in that position, that is what will occur.
Yeah, I mean, abandoning yourself, it's not, you're abandoning yourself to coincidence or to whatever happens, and, you know, to, you're at the mercy of the environment. And what he's suggesting here is that because of the stakes, because of the gamble, you know, because of the profound, very high value of the gamble that you're making, now you're going to be coming up against some, like, serious barriers, you know, that
buffeted about.
Yeah.
And you're vulnerable.
Well, it's almost like a magnet.
There's a vulnerability
that
you are in.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure everybody has some experience of this idea right there, that vulnerability will attract victimizers and the violent. You know, the posture of being a victim, you know, will easily attract people to make you a victim. I've experienced that. Actually, I've seen people that it's very hard. Sometimes it's hard to break somebody of that habit. It's like living in the city. You know how it is, how to look and act when you walk around the streets.
How you act in a bus station is different than how you might act in your home.
Emma is saying, how you act in a bus station, it's going to be different from how you act at home.
Who by?
So, Molly's got a comment for us.
Simon?
Let's read that. We'll read this onto the record.
Simon, can you read the comment that Piff made about the power body, the second one? What did it start with? Our body is a digression. Can you read that, please?
Okay, just let me track it back over here. If the power body is the digression from the non-body that exists / doesn't exist in the higher space.
Excellent. Because I don't know what it means to graft oneself to the body of power. I don't know that procedure. I have guesses to it, which I'm not that interested in, but what you're saying now makes more sense to me, that it's a digression from this ethereal place called the non-body, where we are not huge individuality suddenly. We are in this different space. but
I may something a bit beef is adding to as an insight that would say preparation, realization almost before the voyage could be useful, for there is nothing that can be done there. And it is costly to make digressions to any power body or otherwise from there, for one may never experience the conditions necessary again.
Mm-hmm. That's, everybody online should copy that paragraph. That's very, very important. It's the one about the non-body. The body, non-body?
Oh, yeah.
Very important. Those are very, that she's bang on with what I'm trying to get to in this particular chapter. By who? And then read the one that says at 7:37 that says, in hindsight, Simon.
That is the one that I just read. I repeat, in hindsight, I would say preparation. Realization almost before the voyage could be useful, for there is nothing that can be done there.
The thing I'd like to point out is once you are in that space, once you are in that ethereal space, there's not much you can do. You have to be prepared for that space. You have to be prepared to go there. And that preparation is what all of the sacrifices have been about, and the idea of developing a new body of habits. Because once you are there, you can't rely on the linear mind and the mechanicality and, oh, I guess I need to do this. And you can't even figure it out when you're there.
Yeah, right. So that suggests it's not like you're faced with an ethical decision, like you
right.
can decide ethically what it is you're going to do. It's sort of like, you know, it has to be your habit of integrity. I think this is what he's
nice.
Talking about here. You know, it has to be the that you're set to persist, you know, to continue through these barriers here mindlessly, in a sense. I mean, but I think, you know, again, going back to that idea of grafting oneself to the body of power, you know, for those who are the users of the Toltec teaching, I think this does, to me, it seems that it corresponds to the third enemy, I believe, which is, you know, the enemy, the power. In other words, the temptation of using power over other people is that. Is the one, you know, after that, what is the remaining enemy? It's like once you, I believe, from what I recall of Castaneda, once you've passed that one, the remaining fourth enemy is old age. You just have to be able to do the work that you need to do before you lose capacity.
So here you are, theoretically, you've come to this position of great power. What do you do with the power? What do you do with the power? Is there a surrender to it in a certain way? And we also, though, have the Buddhists talk about this, the Tibetans talk about this, when the voyager, the nun, the monk, get to that position of power and what happens. For our purposes, we're talking about sidestepping that and we're not, we know that it's a temptation. And I'm going to continue because there's a couple of other things.
The last temptation.
It
does
not become easier as one approaches the end. It gets worse, much worse. And this, the last temptation, will seem the hardest barrier of all because it is so easy to fall for just one moment. But at the end of the corridor, 30 birds await your arrival. Strange comment. And why, I ask, why is this chapter, why is this sacrifice called Sacrifice of Redemption?
Yeah, that was...
He didn't talk about it at all.
Right, I was interested in that.
Was it missed? Maybe he misnamed it. Maybe there was a mistake. It was printed wrong.
But what could it have been? Maybe
what could it have been?
The sacrifice of reduction? The sacrifice of...
Of long division. So what... Why is this... We just read the entire sacrifice. I didn't hear one word about redemption. What does it mean? M.A.
Well, it's the...
Sacrifice of redemption.
It's not going into the nirvana side. It's going back into the place. Higher state, I don't know, you know, of coming back.
Coming back.
The Bodhisattva.
M.A. is saying that the reason it's that is because at this point, the voyager, the aspirant, could go forward into the nirvana, could go forward into the place called absorption, because that's the ultimate home, and now you can actually see it. But what was the first sentence in the chapter again? What were we supposed to do here?
Prepare the groundwork or foundation for the development of the conscience.
Ah. So what brings us back? What allows us the possibility of sacrificing your redemption?
Preparation that we did at the beginning, the groundwork.
Of conscience.
To have that in mind.
Because your heart is opened unbelievably, and you come back and you say, ah, I am turning around, I'm coming back, and my fellow voyagers are here, and I want to help all beings everywhere. What's this mess about the 30 birds, too, Ivan?
Hey, well, the 30 birds is a formulation from another tradition. So.
Oh, that's different. We just leave it go. Maybe.
Virgins.
30
virgins.
That's yet another tradition.
Another tradition. Paradise with the 30 virgins. runs another virgin of the famous love tale.
And so this refers to the conference of the birds.
Yes.
And a profound
atar
poem called The Conference of the Birds. And the Conference of the Birds, the birds get together and they realize, gosh, you know, we need to find a leader. And who do they point to? Do you remember?
They end up being the Hoopoe.
Hoopoe is the spokesperson.
Oh,
and Hoopoe, by the way, is a bird. It's actually a type of bird. But what are they looking for? And they think that that is the Seamorg.
This is the one about the Seamorg. Yeah.
The Seamorg is who they go to.
But I thought the Seamorg is the 30 birds, is it not? I have to look it up.
Not quite.
Okay.
And so when I first got here to the Institute, we're all sitting in what is now the living room. It was actually a little bit bigger at the time. Everybody was there. There's 40 people. And all I can say is that the space was intense with vibration, but I will call intense with cleansing radiation. And in order to be in that space, it took a certain kind of discipline to be there and not to react. EJ was coming in and out of the room, and he would lie down in a certain way on these pillows in front of everybody. And the room was rectangular, so from where he was sitting, there was like an oval going out from where he was. Does that make sense? So that he's like in the center of the head of an oval, of an ellipse, and the group circled around. At the opposite side of that was the corridor that now leads to the kitchen. So if you can place that, there was this circular body of individuals, and the overflow led down this corridor into toward the kitchen. Were you there that night? No. To quote Lee Lozowick, the space was white hot. And those that had eyes could open to that cleansing radiation. So this went on for a period of time. At some moment, you could feel something descend that was hosted then by those individuals. That was hosted. They were able to hold that. You remember, well, you weren't there, I don't think. And that gave rise to a talk. You remember the name of the talk?
On the Seymour. Yeah.
On the Seymour. Yes,
yeah. Called the Seymour. Yeah,
the Seymour. One of the talk of the month. I urge you to take a look at that talk. That's the moment that we're at. That's the moment of the 30 birds asking to give, you know, they want to stay where they're at. The sparrow wanting to, you know, have a great ego because of its humility.
Mm-hmm.
And the peacock, you know, happy with where the peacock is at the moment. And Hoopoe's saying, yeah, but give that up too. And the Seymour on the great lake of clarity. So this is where we come at the end of this cycle of sacrifices. We're at this moment of redemption. And as I've said so many times, as we've gone through all of these books so many times, it's like we are in a spiral of growth. And as we go up the spiral, we pass the same point over and over. As we grow and we pass it at another level, we see it in a different manner. So wherever we're at now, have the courage to hang on to whatever that sensibility you have about this world of wonder, and find that moment of conscience that's there. And when you do that, you'll be compelled to come back and to help however you can. Simon, I have a feeling there's something you need to read that's online.
Okay, so let's see what we can get here. Well, there were a few reference exactly to the talk of the month about the 30 birds.
Okay.
It says Los Horizons says sacrifice of redemption sounds like the Bodhisattva vow. Aurea says, something that the person has to work out without help is a question. Sounds like crossing the abyss.
Yes, let's take a moment on that point. We are crossing the abyss. And at the end of the day, we can hold each other's hand in a certain manner, and we can help each other in a certain manner. But each of us has to do the work to get to that next level. It's our own work. It's our own internal work. And whatever part of that spiral you're on, you will wind up in that place called, that's in that second to the last paragraph there, Ivan. It is during this stage that everything will seem to go wrong. Listen to this. It is during this stage that everything will seem to go wrong, that the universe will conspire against one's work. One's very vulnerability will attract the victimizers and the violence. Yes, you are in the abyss. Yes, you must paddle your boat however you are able. The difficulty is you can't go back. You've seen too much. You've seen too much. And you can't go back. But there's a way through it. And the way through it is to continue on through that part of the corridor. It gets worse, and it gets worse. But it's through that cleansing of allowing, in a sense, the radiation to burn through you. Don't abandon it. And as that radiation will cleanse you, you'll have one little teeny place to put your foot, but you'll have that place. So what do you know? What do you know? There's something. Of course there's a lot you don't know.
I was David.
Yes.
I was just thinking about this and whatever I can imagine, because it's all only assumptions and no idea, but once we are in that stage over there, I wonder what if we cannot take any logical or the mind that we are using in this moment.
Right.
How are we going to decide to say, well, no, I choose to come back and to really sacrifice? That would be part of the body of habits, perhaps.
It is part of the body of habits, Simon, and it comes through you're developing your skills in the bardo, okay? By developing those, you'll learn to come back. It'll be, in a sense, the automatic response to being in that space. You're automatically compelled to come back and to be of help to others.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
I have some reference to that, which is it's not that level, but I've been with few people that they have had an out of body experience in which some similar situation, not to that degree, but they are being taken, you know, in this near death experience, and they experience this light and this peace and everything, but there is something of them, they say, no, I have to come back. And they choose to come back to life, and they return. And I know it's not the same scenario that we are talking about. But what my example is regarding that we may not, in the state of mind that we are now here, to decide one thing A, B, or C, but there is something in that moment in which we are given the choice. You know, keep going to the light, and it's peaceful, and everything is fantastic, or go back, and we choose to come back.
Right. So that's what we're talking about. And so we're at the end of this cycle called the sacrifice is in, the joy of sacrifice. And that last sacrifice is called the sacrifice of redemption. Very great temptation. And I urge you to to work with some of this material. And I actually brought along, but I didn't have a chance to get into it, the, there it is in French. The
Conference
of the Birds in French. And that's, I'm looking now at a book called The Angel Songbook. And this is a piece that was written by Parker Dixon. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song. And yeah, I remember singing it. And I don't know if there are 30.
Probably there's no verses for all 30.
It doesn't have verses for all the birds, but Hoopoe says to Owl, "What brings you here? Do you wish to join us on this journey? Do you wish to join us on this journey?" So that's pretty much it for the class tonight. We have a question. We're done with this book. We've completed it. We are going to take on Life in the Labyrinth in January, and we'll probably start sometime after January 15th. I have to look at the calendar. I'll send out an email. My question is, would you like to do one more class on Joy of Sacrifice, because I'm still here next Wednesday if you'd like to do that. And a quick run-through in a certain way might be interesting of all of the sacrifices and where we've been so far. I think on Sacrifice 18, I might have a link to the list of all the sacrifices, if I remember correctly. I wrote it in there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so is that something that you
think of? Says yes, and Hog Lady say yes, and myself too.
Okay.
That will like another, you know, to round up and wrap up the whole sacrifice.
We'll do it next Wednesday.
I have an idea for
I
you.
Think
how,
yes.
How about if you give
Wait a minute, who is that?
Another voice?
I heard another. Is this Susan Kester?
Yes, it is.
Hi, good to hear from you. Go ahead, Ivan.
I was going to say, how about if we give everyone a homework assignment for the last final exam for the last class?
Yes.
That have everyone just pick out some line or some passage in here that's particularly meaningful to them, or something that they would have some personal connection with, and read it to us. You know, say something about it.
So bring that. Look at the 19 sacrifices,
or even
the front matter, or anything that has meant something to you. Bring it to class and read it to us. Share it with us, and help us bring that class forward. Okay.
Yeah, like a comment. How about a personal comment from everybody on something. I know that I could just pick out a few.
You'll pick out a few. So maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll post a website or a web page called The Summary, and I'll do that in the next few days. And you can post there, as you know, what your top 40 is, basically top 10, and
yeah, whatever.
What rocked your boat? So we've come to the conclusion of this class. I want to thank everybody for coming. It's so nice having you here. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week then.
Next week?
Next week it is.
Good night.
Dave and Ivan, thanks so much for the evening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you
very much. It was great. Thank you very much.
Okay, good night.